It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
What's trending?
Well, of course, number one on what's trending is Royals playoff baseball this afternoon. Game two of this American League wildcard series against the Orioles. Pretty simple for the Kansas City Royals. You win and you go on to the ALDS. You lose and we get a game three tomorrow.
I don't want that.
I don't want that
pass
at all. Let's get it done today. Seth Lugo on the bump. 3:38. An odd start time, but it's 3:38. First pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show starts right after our show at 2 o'clock, and then we're just hanging out here at Jefferson's in Lenexa. We were out here yesterday, had a great time watching the Royals get the win, and let's do it all over again today.
Yeah, should be fun. We'll be out here at Jefferson's, as you mentioned. Plus, I just get the sweep so we don't even have to worry about this. No sweat is what we're looking for tomorrow. That we can just all hang out on a Thursday before, you know, thinking about Saturday's
That'd be nice.
ALDS game against the New York Yankees. Plus, it really just helps them from a pitching standpoint. Next up on What's Trending, Bally was in court today, as in the Royals' regular season home from a streaming platform perspective, and they have said that they're going to drop every single one of their TV rights deals as part of the hearing, except the Atlanta Braves. Major League Baseball called this a surprise. They did not know that this was happening. They were being asked to answer some questions about how this impacts Major League Baseball, and they're like, we didn't even know this was happening. Was their stance essentially in court today, which means 2025 regular season for the Royals, we don't know what it'll be streaming on. Will it be on Bally's on a reworked deal? Maybe Amazon, MLB with no blackouts, local TV, Fox Sports, whatever.
I doubt it'll be on
Royals, KC Network coming back. I don't know. Either way, we do not know.
We don't. I would bet on it not being on local
television. Give us RSTN back.
My guess is if I had a bet right now, it would be they probably just have a reworked deal. My second guess would be MLB takes it in-house with these other teams, including the Royals, and then they find a distributor a la Amazon or somebody like that. But that is interesting news today, that is for sure. Next up on what's trending in the NFL, we now know that Davante Adams officially does want out of Las Vegas. The Raiders also said they are willing to consider trading him. Adam Schefter reporting while the Jets and Saints' interest in Adams is real, there are other teams that remain interested. And despite any speculation, the team not expected to be an option is Kansas City, despite their need at wide receiver. I also just saw Jordan Schultz just a minute or so ago say, quote, the Cowboys are not interested in trading for Davante Adams. He goes on to say the Chiefs are obviously going to be in the receiver market, but a divisional trade is highly unlikely. The Jets are seen by many executives as a top landing spot.
Duh.
Makes sense. Rodgers connection. The Saints has the Derek Carr connection from their college days. So not surprised by the teams. The dark horse team, we threw it out yesterday. I think the Commanders would be an interesting team to watch, perhaps.
They're asking over on First Take, what do you think? Do you think Davante Adams regrets leaving more or Tyreek Hill?
It's got to be Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls. Davante Adams, the Packers haven't won rings since he left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
It's got to be Tyreek, even though he's had numbers. His numbers, he got paid and all that. Davante got paid. His numbers have been fine. They're both not happy, but Tyreek was on a team with the best quarterback in the league, and that team has won rings and hasn't really missed anything.
I think Davante Adams should have just waited to leave. Like, he did it too soon. He should have jumped. He should have just jumped later. Next up on What's Trending, Chris Jones has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week by the NFL. Two sacks, three tackles for loss in that win last week. He has simply been one of the best defensive players in all of the sport. I still don't think he's got odds anywhere close to Defensive Player of the Year territory. But for a long shot bet that some people made last year, Chris Jones got a better shot this year than he ever has because he's off to a dominant start.
Oh, he's been great. Still, yeah, I wouldn't waste my money on the defensive player of the year bet, but he's been off to a dominant start and deserves the defensive player of the week accolade. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, who once again has his on-deck show at 2 o'clock. We told him he's joining us every single day as long as the Royals are still alive in the postseason. So hopefully he's going to be for many, many weeks. I want to get his perspective on how yesterday played out, what he saw from that Royals bullpen, and what does he make of the matchup today? We saw there's one change in the lineup. Otherwise, the Royals kept it the same. Five hits yesterday, just the one run, all that mattered. But the one change is that Tommy Pham, not in the lineup in right field. It'll be Hunter Renfroe. Other than that, looking at the same
looks
lineup.
The same.
Freddie Freeman just has, he's a pinch hitter opportunity today, for Gurriel or something like that. I know some people wanted Freddie in there. I don't know how you work him in the lineup right now, unless you move Salvi to first, I guess, and then you have Freddie catch. But let's not forget, Freddie Freeman's a fun player to watch. He's had a great year. The last month, though, much like the rest of the offense, he has not been the same player at
nope.
the plate. And so I'm not surprised that he's not in the lineup again today.
I think in a lineup in which there is a left-hander on the mound
That's
to
it.
Start the game, we're probably having a conversation. I think then you can justify, you know what? Vinny's still coming back from this injury. We use him off the bench the second they go to the righties out of their pen, and we're going to have Vinny late. We're going to move things around, and it all fits kind of like a glove. But unless there's going to be that, you also kind of have to rely on the guys that got you there. Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, those are the guys that got you there. I think some of this is like looking for any kind of offensive burst. Look, I get it. Corbin Burns dominated the Royals lineup yesterday. Bobby Wood Jr. managed to get the one big hit that got them the win, but Corbin Burns made them look bad, real bad, right? They didn't get runners on base. They didn't walk. He was all strikes, all in the middle of the zone. He's throwing sliders with 20 inches of break. He looked ridiculous. But I get the people who are like, yeah, but the Royals offense hadn't hit in a month. Fair. More than fair.
Well, I think there's
I thought
an
yesterday was more about Corbin Burns than it was the offense.
I mean, I think if there's an opportunity today, and there's a good chance there will be, you could see Freddie pinch hit, or yesterday they didn't have to use Dairon Blanco.
Nope.
Just the way the scenario set up, they didn't have any base runners, and when they did, it was Michael Garcia
who can run,
and they took advantage of that. Bobby obviously is never going to get pinch hit for, but he can run, so they were aggressive on the base pass. Where on the flip side, the Orioles really. Didn't have that opportunity.
Had no speed.
Didn't have any speed to go and do that. It's one of the advantages in why Dairon Blanco, I think today we'll see how the game plays out. I would be stunned if it's another 1-0 game.
I can't take it, dude.
I kind of love it, though.
Do you?
It
makes me feel sick to watch
sports
like that sometimes.
Maybe.
I don't like that. I don't like the way my body feels watching that game.
But that's what's part of it. Yes.
No.
See, I love this is for October.
But you don't like risky. You don't like skydiving or those kinds of things. That's what, like adrenaline.
My life isn't in jeopardy.
But it feels that way.
My life's not in jeopardy when I'm watching the Royals.
But it feels that way.
Living and dying by every pitch. But I know my life's not in jeopardy versus skydiving. No, I think that's what playoff baseball is kind of all about. I mean, very rarely do you see a team just go out there and win 8-1. I would be stunned if we saw an 8-2 game today from the Royals on either side of the result. I think this, yesterday I thought it was going to be 4-2. Obviously, it wasn't anywhere near that. It was 1-0. Today, 3-1, 3-2. I feel like it's going to be another low scoring game. I don't think either offense to you is just going to suddenly burst out.
No, I'd have a hard time imagining that. Do you, let's say, one of the players people were asking about in the lineup, a lineup that did not score yesterday, but the one run, but one, so less hard on him. If MJ Melendez does something to hurt the team again today, see how the lineup tomorrow? He hurt the team yesterday. He almost cost him a run. He was useless at the plate yesterday, right? That doesn't mean he's never going to get a hit or has never gotten a hit for this team. But if he does something to actively hurt the team again today, do you give him a day?
It depends. Do they win today, and then they don't play again until Saturday? So
I don't care. I'm saying in a loss.
You're
right?
saying in a,
in,
losing,
a loss.
In a loss?
He hurts them today with another Aaron left or a bad day. Another
it depends.
Day at the plate
who's pitching
yesterday?
For Baltimore? I don't know that answer. These are all factors they're going to consider.
Sure.
If that – we don't know
It's mostly a righty probably.
We don't know who that would be if, in fact, this game – the series gets to a game three. But, I think that would be a conversation. I hope for his sake he comes up with a big hit today because, that was unacceptable in left field. That just can't happen. But I would ask you, today, so who would you want playing left field if it wasn't for him today?
I mean, that's always the inevitable problem where you're like, are you putting Pham and Renfroe in
that's
at the same time? I do fully understand that. But MJ wasn't a full-time player the entire season this year. They moved him around. They bounced some other people around. So hell, sometimes they put, you might not like the names, they sometimes put Frazier or Garrett Hampson or some of these other dudes.
Those are two names I don't think anybody runs in the lineup.
No, I don't.
Let's be real.
Look, MJ Melendez can run into a home run. Has he lately? No. He is once again ridden into a deep, deep, dark slump. The problem with benching MJ Melendez, which I just wouldn't do right now, is that he hasn't made those types of mistakes in left field very often this year. So, like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
He also has a way better arm than some of your other options.
Way better arm. Though he made some bad throws in September. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Generally speaking, I'm fine with his defense, I guess, is the end result of that. And you never know when it's going to be. But, boy, when MJ gets hot for a minute, white hot. He hits as good as anyone in the damn lineup
How many times this year, even in a frustrating season, there was a ninth inning two-run home run or a grand slam or whatever it was a couple times this year. Yeah. So that is always the potential that you
That home run against was the Guardians that eventually helped them sneak within close to first place? Felt like, at the time, that felt like one of the biggest hits of the year for the Royals. I thought he and Mikel Garcia were my picks to be most likely players who aren't having good years. That are just surprising postseason.
Yeah, we did it yesterday. Yeah. I think I said Renfro. He wasn't even in the lineup yet. He's in the lineup today. We'll see what he can bring to the table. Maybe he's a guy that can. He's got some pop. You know, if it's a low scoring game, can he get a hold of one? And we're going to find out. We'll talk to Vern about that as well. What does he make of the one change? And also, if he thinks this is a matchup. I know some numbers just in terms of Hunter Renfro against today's starting pitcher and why he's in there. Renfro 5-for-13 with 2 doubles and a dinger.
Yeah, they trust the numbers. They'll always go with the numbers. And based on the fact that they were an 86-win team after a 56-win team, am I supposed to argue it? I understand that he was technically the manager of that squad as well, but this goes back to the whole manager thing versus play calling versus, like, what do you expect him to do, right? Like, how do you expect him if there are no starters, who do you want him to start? Now, I just think that there could be good MJ Melendez today, and I hope so, and I still think he strikes me as the kind of player who's going to have an unexpectedly big hit in a big moment for this team if they make a run. But he's also going to be one of the players you're probably frustrated with if they don't. You know, he's a swing player, is the truth. And that's where the kind of the lineup looks most of the time. But, yeah, the only switch today, in case you were looking at the lineup, is Renfro in and Tommy Pham out.
Royals plus 128 on the money line, so they are dogs again today, even with Lugo on the mound. Orioles minus 152 with their backs against the wall, obviously facing elimination. Total for the game, 7.5. It was 7 going in, and, of course, it was way under. Just one run.
You think?
Scored. Yeah, just one run scored in the game. I was trying to see.
It's like the under again today.
Yesterday we were talking about Vinny, who of course didn't get a hit yesterday, but still helped contribute on FanDuel batter props. Let's see, home run, hit home run today. The favorite Royal player to hit home run based on the odds market is Hunter Renfro. He's plus 470. Then Salvi 5-1. Bobby Wood Jr. 5-1. Michael Massey 6-1. And further down the list, Vinny's now plus 680 today after being 5-1 yesterday. Melendez plus 630. And then you go way down the list, Kyle Isbell 11-1. Mikel Garcia 14-1.
Just weren't many home runs in that game yesterday, turns out. None.
Just one
there
run
were no
period.
Runs.
Yeah, just one run period, man.
There were just no runs.
We'll get back to the Royals in 15 minutes with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. But let's get to all 32. So I want to start with the Miami Dolphins. We all know it's been a tough spot because Tua's concussion history, and he's on IR.
Sure.
Although it sounds like testing is going well for him.
Yeah, sounds like he'll be back.
He's planning on playing week 8, week 9. So knowing that, we have given, I think, though, Mike McDaniel a pass, though, on how bad they've been for the last, I don't know, 10-plus games because of that. And we all know you lose your quarterback, it's challenging. We know how they finished the season, though. They finished the regular season when Tua was healthy poorly. They came to Kansas City in the wild card game. They had no chance to win that game.
It was terrible.
They haven't been good for a while. Mike McDaniel is also 1-6 without Tua as his quarterback. They've got all these weapons. We just talked about Tyreek Hill a second ago. Tyreek Hill has been a non-factor. Usually, especially with the love we were giving Mike McDaniel, offensive mind, creative guy, oh my gosh. Even with a backup quarterback, you would think they would still find ways to get Tyreek Hill the ball, and they really haven't, man.
No, they've been really, really bad. I've told you before, Mike McDaniel probably lands in that like Zach Taylor thing where you're like, man, he's a pretty good coach, it looks like. But they can get exposed a little bit. And the quarterback thing is always important, but look at the Steelers. They lost their starting quarterback. They're 3-1. Look at the Packers. They lost their starting quarterback. They're 3-1. Like, plenty of teams have found a way to win football games, even with backup quarterbacks. Backup quarterbacks who were garbage at their last spot, including like guys like Malik Willis. How the Tennessee Titans have as many wins as you? And they're starting a guy who makes a meme every week.
Head to head?
Yeah, and not just beat you, kicked your ass.
Mason Rudolph. Like,
not good, man. Not good, at least on that end. Because it just makes you wonder, like, what the hell's going on with it. I have long since stated on the show, I do not think I would be a better GM than any GM in the NFL. But I've also stated that if we pretend like they're infallible and I'm not allowed to question their decision-making because they've made it this high, wrong. They can make wrong decisions just like I could make right ones if I was put in that spot. And I was reminded of that, and I can't play it, a slightly longer clip, from the off-season version of Hard Knocks with the New York Giants. This clip got brought back up because of the start for Jaden Daniels, and it perfectly encapsulated how we can all be right. The clip has explained. A teenage kid of the Giants' current GM is sitting on his couch, and he's asking his kids, what would you do with my pick? And he's like, take Jaden Daniels. He's great. It's obvious. He tells his dad, you only get to do this job once. You should try to win if you're going to do it.
Yeah, that went
viral.
Oh,
my God.
That went viral months ago. Yeah.
I've never felt more in my bones when that clip started circling around that you're like, I mean, this kid just gets it. What the hell are you sitting on your ass hoping for another year of Daniel Jones for? Just go take a quarterback and try to be good, damn it. Please. Because part of this is, if you don't take chances at quarterback, you'll never know whether you get it. I get it. You're getting fired if you get it wrong, but I'm convinced you're getting fired if you get it. You get it if you don't do it. So if you just make no move. And so you might as well just take the chance.
Oh, the NFC
keep
East,
a job for 20 damn years.
The NFC East, other than Dan Quinn, because he just got the job, he's also off to a good start. The NFC East might have a new head coach in Dallas, might have a new head coach in Philadelphia, might have a new head coach in New York.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels might get the entire division fired.
That one, just Nick Sirianni's also, even before Jaden Daniels arrived, like was on, you know, a little
Jalen
bit of a
Hurts
hot
turned
seat.
The ball over in 9 straight games.
Yeah, they did not look good at all down in Tampa. That is for sure.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been very good. I'm going to keep it with the quarterback conversation. So we've talked about Justin Fields a little bit and how he's done. The Steelers said they think they're going to go with Justin Fields again. You know, they're going to tab him as a starter. Do you know why? I don't know why they're making this a week-by-week thing. Justin Fields has played well enough. They're 3-1. He played actually pretty well against the Colts. Threw for, like, I think over 300 yards, even though they lost the game. Why are they even debating this with Russell Wilson anymore? I know that they brought him in, and it was supposed to be a quarterback battle, and it hasn't been because of the injury. But why not just keep rolling with Justin Fields? I don't get why they're trying to make this a week-by-week thing and just evaluating it week-by-week, and I'm just saying, yep, Fields is the guy.
Fundamentally, I absolutely agree with you, and I think the upside is always going to be better with Justin Fields,
yeah,
just based on youth and the situation he was put in before. The only thing I can think of, Drew, if you ask me the question of, like, why are they messing with this is, Mike Tomlin is a really, really, really good coach, fundamental coach, understands how football works, and I think he honestly thinks Russell Wilson is better than Justin Fields. Like, I think it actually is that. I think it boils down simply to that. Is the reason why he chose Russell Wilson is the beginning, the reason why he was going with Russell Wilson week one until the injury, is that I think Mike Tomlin honestly believes Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. That's not me. I'm not saying I believe that.
Yeah.
But I think Mike Tomlin does.
I wonder if it would take Russell Wilson actually playing to see who actually is, and maybe it is what that takes, where, you know what, we're going to give Russell, like, if they lose this upcoming week and they play the Cowboys on Sunday night, they lose, maybe Russell's ready, and Mike Tomlin's like, you know what, we're going to go with Russ and we'll see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. I mean, he's got a 70% completion percentage. His rating's at almost 100. He's been good enough for them to be a starter in the league, where you look at the options, and Russell Wilson, I don't think is better based on what we've seen the last couple of seasons. Why not just stick with Fields? Is what I'm thinking. Because it's helping.
Well, I think they are. I think they are. Even though they're saying it's week to week, I think they are. But they don't want to just say Justin Fields is our starter the rest of the season because he's played good. I don't think he's played to the point where I think you just know the rest of the season that there's not a chance that he couldn't struggle, and you do have to just go to Russell Wilson because you're like, hey, whatever. We got to do something to change it up if Justin Fields just sucks. This stretch he's on, this is like the best three-game stretch he's had win-loss-wise
in
his career.
And he's like average.
And he's been fine. Like, he's been okay.
He is with a much better organization, too.
No question.
In that regard as well.
When they traded for Russell, or they signed Russell Wilson like March 14th. They traded for Fields March 16th. So they weren't, I mean, it wasn't.
They had plenty of time to look at both.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, it's not like they looked at Russ for 2 months and then said, oh, boy, we better go get a quarterback. They signed both. Like, it's not like they're sold on either guy.
But that's why I also think that they are actually, they think, or he thinks, based on an entire offseason program, Russell Wilson's a better quarterback. And maybe it's just a history, right? He's also watched Russell Wilson be a starter in this league for 8 years. And so he probably just convinces himself that he's more in that.
If they do have a good year, do you think that the Steelers are like, you know what? Fields is our guy, and we're just going to keep it rolling? Because it was only a one-year deal with Russell Wilson anyways.
I don't think either one of these quarterbacks is starting for the Steelers next year.
Do you think they're going to draft a guy?
You know what I almost did for my own?
Because the Steelers are like in purgatory in a way where they're too good to get a quarterback, you know?
You know what I almost did for my All-32 is something we can look at here for just a minute, because we've got a couple minutes before we get to Josh Vernier, but there's two matchups that really swing my opinion on some teams this week. One is Buffalo and Houston. Which of those two teams kind of like takes the edge here, takes the lead? Because then one has started to fall back and one has started to go forward, and well, by week five, I don't have to make decisions. I'm there. The other one, Drew, is your team, Baltimore and Cincinnati. If Cincinnati wants to prove that their season wasn't over when they started 0-3, well, they better sure as hell not start 1-4 and lose to Baltimore at home. They actually have to win this game. And now they're catching Baltimore when they're playing good. Good football.
It definitely sounded like Lou Anarumo finally wasn't pulling any punches and just going to throw guys and is actually going to just throw guys out there. If you're playing good enough, fine. If you're struggling, I'm yanking you out. I don't care if you're cornerback 1, 2, safety 1. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you're screwing around, then you're not playing. Which he needs to, I think, kind of in a way salvage his job, because if they start 1-4 and they give up 30 points again to Lamar Jackson, which not that that's an easy thing to prohibit, but I mean, if they are 1-4 and he's the main reason that they're in that case, it's going to be tough for him to keep that job, I think.
Yeah, most likely. Just interesting. There's several, some of the records wouldn't indicate it gold, but there are several, like, heavyweight fights this weekend from an NFL perspective. Like, that's not Ravens-Bengals. That's been two of the best teams over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, if
Bills-Texans, that gives us,
if Baltimore wins, that gives them 3 wins in a row, and suddenly you kind of, I don't want to say flat out erase their first two games, but
I think
it changes from a seeding perspective. Then they're right back in the mix with everybody else for one of the top 2-3 seeds in the AFC, because they got the head-to-head win now over Buffalo, yeah. And then in their division, we know they'll play Cincy twice. But this one is in Cincinnati, isn't it?
Yep.
On Sunday, too. So
yes,
if Baltimore gets the one, and knowing the next time they face him is back in Baltimore,
this is a slate
game.
This weekend. Falcons at home against the Bucs.
Great.
Vikings at home against the Jets. Interested in that. Texans, Bills, we just mentioned.
Vikings
Bengals,
game's
Ravens.
That's in London, I think.
Oh, it is in London. You're right. Sorry. There's just a lot of good. There's just a lot of good games.
You guys mentioned the Cowboys. So they have the Steelers this weekend. They then have the Lions, the Niners, the Falcons, the Eagles, the Texans, the Commanders.
They're screwed.
Good luck. That's why, I mean, we were just
Cowboys aren't making the postseason.
We were talking about the NFC East. Like, that's why all these teams other than the Commanders are going to have new head coaches. Cowboys are in big trouble.
They just lost Brandon Cooks today.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks hasn't done anything in a couple weeks.
They might actually be able to get Shador outright. They won't even have to trade anything to get up to get him. Potentially.
They should also. We talked about the Chiefs. We talked about the Chiefs wide receiver market.
Oh, right. Duh, I'm sorry.
The Cowboys. Yeah, they just paid Dak. The Cowboys should be looking to trade for Deontay Johnson as well, just like the Chiefs. They should be looking to bring back Amari Cooper. They should be looking to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. They should be looking to trade for Davante Adams. I know there's a report from Schultz that says the Cowboys are not interested, but that's what the Cowboys need to be doing. Their wide receiver room, it's CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert, I believe, after Brandon Cook's injury. Not good. That's all 32 in the NFL. Up next, we get right back to the Royals as we get closer and closer to first pitch of Game 2 of this wild card series against the Orioles. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, tells us what to expect this afternoon. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game down to one pitch. Hirsig brings it in, and there's the last pitch on a swing and a miss. And the Royals have shut out Baltimore 1-0. The Royals scored that run, as I just mentioned, in the sixth inning. They made it stand up. And there's something about the Royals in Baltimore in postseason. The Royals have their number. And the big number today is 1. 1-0. Royals.
That's how it sounded yesterday here on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals took Game 1 of this wild card series. Game 2 coming up at 3:38. Vern's On Deck show, an extended pregame today coming up at 2 o'clock. And we welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Fernier. You know, Vern, I like this. We're talking to you every day. It's fun. The Royals are winning. Why not? We just keep doing this all month, as I said.
Hey, I'm with it. I appreciate you guys having me on. I love how quickly the PA people in Baltimore went to that Fleetwood Mac, "Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow." I mean, it was strike three, don't stop. Yeah. Oh, man, that was hilarious.
I got to be honest. Like, if I were anybody who lived in Baltimore, Vern, I would hate Kansas City as a city.
Oh,
every
sure.
time they face us in sure. sports, it goes horrible for them.
Yeah, Buffalo, Baltimore. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has created quite a few enemies, and now the baseball team helping out with it. And look, the 9 straight postseason defeats dates back to Haas, Moose, Kane, and the boys sweeping them back in 2014. Man, that place is going to be rocking early. But if the Royals are able to score the momentum, I think they can completely kill the crowd early because of what you're saying, right? They're already fearful of that jersey, of that KC. They're already fearful of, once again, a quick exit in October. I think Seth Lugo, Bobby Vinny, and the guys have the chance to take the crowd out of the game right away.
And that pitching, you know, we've talked about it for months and months and months, and it is interesting, though. The starting pitching we had faith in, understandably so, that Cole Reagans was going to go out there and deal. But to see the bullpen do what they did, if I would have told you, Vern, a month ago that, hey, the Royals are going to make the playoffs, there's going to be a playoff game that they win, and they win 1-0, a lot of people would have called us crazy, I think, considering the struggles this bullpen has had all year. And yet, yesterday, Long and Bubic and Hirsig were just perfect.
Yeah, if you would have told me a few months ago they win 1-0, I'm thinking Lugo went the distance, I'm thinking Reagans went the distance, and Bobby went bridge, and that's how they walk away with the victory. No, listen, and the thing that's strange is we all talked about it in July and August. We talked about it in June, about how different, come October, the bullpen will look, not only with the possibility of an Alec Marsh, even though he's not there, but a Brady Singer, acquisitions after the trade deadline. We knew Chris Bubic was going to be able to help this team at some point. We wondered if Daniel Lynch could help this team at some point. But while we said it, while we knew the bullpen was going to be different in the postseason, I don't think we thought that to a man, they would all be putting up the eye-popping numbers that they are. I'm not surprised Chris Bubic is good. I'm not surprised that Lucas Hirsig is pitching well, but everyone is pitching well. We'll see what you eventually get from a Michael Lorenzen, but John Schreiber's been throwing the ball well. I can't wait to see Angel Zerpa get an opportunity. Hopefully, well, maybe not today. Hopefully Seth Lugo could just hand the ball to Lucas Hirsig. But yeah, the fact that this team that all season has been led by starting pitching, defense, base running, and three of the most clutch bats in all of Major League Baseball. You know, that alone in April, May, and June, we thought would be enough to get this team into competitive games into September and hopefully into October, let alone throw on top of that an upper echelon bullpen. That, you know, along with a big bat of Michael Massey. We'll see what Hunter Renfroe can do today. You know, suddenly now you're talking about one of maybe not the most well-rounded team, but like we've talked about all year, there is no great team. Every team has a flaw, and if you're telling me the Royals' flaw is two-thirds of their lineup, but their bullpen's good, their rotation's good, their defense is good, their team speed is good, the middle of their lineup is good, yeah, you'll stack that squad up against anybody.
I think one thing that stood out again for the pitching yesterday, it stood out on its own right, Vern, but going into postseason games, there's always the big unknown with a team like the Royals, where Reagan's never pitched in the in the playoffs. Urseg, right. Bubich, Long, these guys have never played in that moment in a 1-0 game, in a postseason game in which they know the stats the same as we do. Win this game, and in the wild card round right now, the teams are 8-0 and advancing in that over the last 2 years. The fact that none of them had pitched in the bullpen, or pitched in the postseason, sorry, and pitched like that is what stood out to me. I know Reagan's is good, but pitching in the postseason is different.
Right, and there were so many battles, right? It's not as if those 8 punch-outs that he put together, it was boom, 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 go sit down. No, it's 6, 7, 8 pitch battles. You know, 9 with Ryan Mountcastle to finish off his 6th inning of work. You know, Reagan's just refused to give in yesterday. It was a joy to watch him. You know, Salvi comes up big with Lucas Urseg there in the 9th inning, but, man, when your changeup's bouncing between 92, 93, and guys are looking lost on it because they're sitting triple digits, I come away really impressed with Urseg, really impressed with Cole Reagans, really impressed with Michael Garcia as well in his first playoff game. You know, that was a very composed 8-pitch walk that he drew with one out there in the 6th inning. Michael Massey not trying to do anything more than what is requested on the scoreboard, right? Man in scoring position, one out at worst. Get that guy to third base. Michael Massey executes, and then Bobby Witt Jr., you know, his first ever big league game, he hits the game-winning RBI, and now his first ever postseason game, he comes through with the game-winning RBI. Very Derek Jeter-esque, where every big moment that Jeter seemed to find himself in,
that's Cody's favorite guy.
It was storybook, right? 3,000 hits, it's a home run. His final at-bat at Yankee Stadium, it's big. His first postseason, he's hitting bombs left and right. Bobby Witt Jr.'s storybook start to his career just obviously continues yesterday.
Were you surprised they pitched to him, Vern?
No, I wasn't. But as you know, time went on, I guess I became more surprised that they didn't. I understand Brandon Hyde leaving it to Corbin Burnes, or at least I understand his explanation after the game, right? Burnes is pitching his tail off. He knows what to do out there. Don't give Bobby anything to hit. He gave him something to hit, and he paid for it. Now, you know, am I going to lay blame at the feet of Brandon Hyde that his team lost 1-0? I can't do that. I got to give credit to Bobby for executing. But at the same time, I do understand those that are saying, you know, someone's got to be the adult in the room. And you can't expect two lions that are growling at each other to understand, you know what, we probably shouldn't do this. No, they're going to fight. They're going to go at it. They want to compete. And there needed to be an adult in the room to go, no, Lions. I don't want you to face this behemoth. How about you take down this lion over here that can't feel his thumb right now?
I think that's it. If it's like any other time in the game, that's what Alex and I were talking about, any other time of the season, we're probably having a different conversation. But because the guy had taken a month off with a broken thumb, I mean, the moment kind of dictates the action, I feel like, at that point.
Yeah. But, again, I understand the skipper not putting the four fingers up, believing that his four-time All-Star right-hander, the former Cy Young Award winner, would understand that that cutter can't be on the outer third. It needs to be off the plate, and you want him chasing it. He failed to execute. Bobby did execute, and really that, to me, is what yesterday's game was about, because the Orioles had opportunities. Right, a leadoff double in the third, a man on second with one out in the 5th inning that should have scored on Cedric Mullins' single to center, but poor base running by Baltimore picks up MJ Melendez, who showcased some poor defense yesterday in left field. But it comes down to the little things. It comes down to execution, and the Royals executed better than Baltimore.
thinking of just managing a game, knowing today is it's do or die for the Orioles, but it's also a chance for the Royals to clinch and not have to get to a game three. How do you think maybe late in this game, let's say the Royals do have a lead, how do you think you could change how he manages, if at all, based on, like, hey, the balance of there could be a game three, but also if you've got a chance to actually end this thing, does he push Urseg and extra, you know, you got multiple outs yesterday.
Yes.
You think he's willing to go four or five more outs today, if that's what's
for
necessary?
For sure.
Okay.
Without question, and then again tomorrow. Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's, to me, the most interesting thing about this game today is that killer instinct, that Patrick Mahomes-like killer instinct, the instinct that I think that 2014 team adopted in Anaheim with those two walk-off home runs, where they understood, man, you can't blink in these games, because when you do, you're going to pay for it. That's what happened in those first two contests back in 2014. Anaheim blinked and the Royals pounced. You can't let up for a second. That's what the greats have done for years, and that's what if the Royals want to be a great team, you got to finish this team off. Don't get it done today. You got the horse. You got the advantage up and down. Really the tail of the tape heading into today. I know it's in their yard, but like we mentioned, man, it could feel like a home game real quick.
We mentioned some of the numbers for Hunter Renfroe off the Orioles pitcher today. Are you surprised the one change, just Tommy Pham flipping him with Hunter Renfroe today?
No. Honestly, yesterday I was somewhat surprised that they didn't have Paul DeJong in the lineup because of his ability to change the game with one swing. He had good numbers against Corbin Burns. He has good numbers again today against Zach Eflin, and he once again sees a day out of the lineup. So Q riding with the guys that, for the most part, got him here, and the things that got him here, pitching, defense, and team speed, and there's no doubt about it, the arm of Hunter Renfroe, to me, makes up for whatever slight speed advantage Tommy Pham brings out there in right.
Vern, too early based on Venezuelan Winter League and one playoff game to just assume Mikel Garcia is a gamer? Like, he had bad 60 days, man. He's been bad August and September. He gets into one playoff game.
Year.
He finds himself, he finds himself on base. He gets himself to second base. He scores the winning run. I don't, you know, like, some guys are just meant for bigger playoff moments, and it certainly felt like maybe he was just waiting for this to come alive.
Well, I stop doing that if you want to remain a big leaguer. don't wait 6 months. But and to me, Mikel's been that guy. A guy that enjoys the spotlight, enjoys the attention, enjoys the big crowd. But he's got to do it again, right? You know, nice day all around for Mikel, but I'm not going to make too much out of it, right? Eski had a nice game and then kept having nice games, and now he's a Royals Hall of Famer. It was, a very composed plate appearance there in the sixth, steals another bag in the ninth, plays a good third base. He's a good player. It just seems as if the focus wanders at times, and I know he beats himself up more than anybody else. If he can just keep a positive voice in his head, sky's the limit, because he has all the talent in the world.
Vern, we're here at Jefferson's in Lenexa to watch the game again today. I've said I'll buy 10 $1 Royals rally shots if Vinny hits a home run. You want to commit to $10 if something happens?
Yes.
Vinny home run, or you want something else?
I'll say Salvi, because I'm going to bet this anyway. So
okay.
Let's just go. Well, no, because then if I win my money, then I'm just giving it all away.
Yeah, it's more fun. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I don't want it to be the bet. You know what? I'll just piggyback off of you. Vinny, man, what a teammate. What a warrior. Yeah, I'll put another 10 on
then
it.
Then we got 20.
I was going to say, Vern, we'll have to have a rally shot for you. You were very much missed at the watch party. There were multiple people that came up to us, people that were screaming to the
wanting
boss.
Wanting to fight me.
Wanting to fight you that you were not here. So I just want to let you know that's how much you're loved in this city, you know?
Yeah, well, that's because they won. Let them lose today, and they'll be running me out of town as soon as they can.
There you go. That's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. His On Deck show coming up 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. He'll join us tomorrow on the show, no matter what happens today, whether we're talking about heading to an ALDS or we're talking about a stressful Game 3 that could happen tomorrow
afternoon.
Again, I
don't want that.
Nope,
it's already causing me stress just thinking about it.
Of course nobody wants that, but boy, oh boy, you want to talk about stressful situations. That's tomorrow if it actually gets to that.
I think Vern's right, though. Royals go score two in the first, two in the second. They take an early lead, and that building, including the players on the Orioles bench, it's going to go dead, quiet. It's going to feel flat in a hurry. You already lost the first game. If you slip up and give up an early lead today to the Royals, and you know that they got Seth Lugo on the mound, one of the better starters in the American League this year, an all-star, you are going to feel so drained and hopeless in that building if the Royals get an early lead.
Yeah, especially knowing that Seth Lugo you're going up against. Cole Reagan, because of what Cole Reagan was able to do, if Seth Lugo is able to be anywhere near as dominant as Cole Reagan's is, good luck if you're the Orioles to get. We know there is not another Corbin Burns or anywhere close to that on that Orioles pitching staff. The drop-off from Reagan's to Lugo is not nearly the same drop-off from Burns to Eflin. It's just that's not the same drop off. It's much greater for the Orioles. So
significantly,
if the Royals can get up early, I'm 100% with you. Not to mention just the natural, like, even as a player, I'm sure you start to depress a little bit even more, which would be a good thing for the Royals today if the Orioles start to feel that way. But let's go ahead and get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
Any more pillow talk questions?
No.
Your question came from pillow talk.
No, pillow talk today. Okay. For you, Alex, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. We live stream the show over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Please like and subscribe us over there if you want to continue to see our mugs during
our figurines.
The Royals run. Well, our figurines today. We'll be back on regular video tomorrow, we think. So, if you want to watch the video, typically we'll be in studio. You can see us there. No, the question I have for you today is a different conversation I was having with someone else, not my wife and not late at night, which is it's a Back to the Future scenario, and I'm giving you 24 hours notice. 24 hours. You know the Royals are going to win 24 hours from now. This is a Biff situation from Back to the Future 2. You know the future of sports. How much money do you think you could get your hands on in 24 hours if you tried from any possible source?
It's a guaranteed win.
It's a guaranteed win. No doubt. You don't know it's a doubt. You were just borrowing, stealing, taking from loan sharks. I don't care who you're taking. I don't care if you're emptying out your 401k. You were taking it. If you can get that done in a day, I don't think
that's
you can.
The challenge. Is
like,
I don't know if
how
you
much
can
money do you think you could get in a day, 24 hours?
Yeah, because I don't think you can say. People always use the 401k as an example, and this one doesn't work. You cannot get that transfer out of your Vanguard or whatever
in 24 hours. I don't think
No, it doesn't work that way. By the time it sells, et cetera. Anyway, so no, I think realistically, 24 hours. Assuming you don't even have to worry about convincing them that is the result, assuming they believe you that you know they're guaranteed to win, I don't know, 15, 20K max in 24 hours.
Okay.
Anybody saying a million, no, you can't.
I'll just be honest. Let's just say we've all got a rich in-law or sibling or whatever's got more money than you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the fact that you're going to have to convince them that you for sure know. Do you think they're going
right.
to believe you? Just because
that's
you
the issue,
know.
Man. I know.
Do you think that my brother's just going to give me 20K because I'm like, come on, dude, trust me. I'm telling you. There is no doubt. I think I could probably get 10. I think all I could get my hands on is $10,000. I can't go through any loan process. I can't be sure of that. I don't think I can sell a car in that amount of time or a kidney. There's only so much you can do in a 24-hour time period. I think I could get my hand on maybe 10, 15K. I don't think it's more than that. Someone was telling me they thought they could get a quarter of a million, a half of a million dollars.
How?
And unless you've got that liquid.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess if you went to a car dealership
and you just said, I want to sell this car, you could probably get a cashier's check right then and there fairly quickly. And so I guess that would be the way you would get your money. But then you'd still have to go buy the car, I guess, again, because you would, that's the problem.
But if it's a guaranteed win, I might take the chance,
Yeah, but the car's not, your car, let's say you're getting.
How much do I lose?
Let's say you're getting $40,000 on the car. Your car's not $100,000.
But the more I can get, because if I can only get my hands on 10K, it's not worth selling the car.
Correct.
Because then essentially I'm just kind of breaking even
that's
on the
I'm
scenario.
Saying. That's
not
what I'm
really,
saying.
But but if I can get my hand on 100K and that includes selling my car, well,
so
then.
Says there, my boss so is a millionaire, I'm in. 100% sure thing. Their boss is million.
But you got to convince your boss that it's a sure
Here's
thing.
Here's the other. I know we're getting way too into specifics, and we're taking a fun question and making it too specific.
Too real.
But also, none of the sports books, FanDuel, et cetera, are taking a $1 million bet from you. So the individual that says they can get a million, you can't walk into Hollywood Casino. They're not taking your $1 million.
No, bet. But they've taken $100,000 bets from Cheeseaholics.
They're not taking a million.
They'll take $100,000.
I don't think they're taking $1 million bet. Most places won't.
I'd spread it around. I mean, I'd go to as many casinos as let me for a while there. Unfortunately, in this town, I can only make so big a bet.
Somebody said their wife's grandma is 93 and has several million in the bank. I'm going straight there.
I guess the question is, yeah, what can I get on a cash advance on a credit card? Like, if I know I'm paying it back the next day, I imagine
some
I
of them
could
let
get
you. Some
amount.
Of them let you get up to the limit. Some you know, of them I've, only let you get part of the limit
like,
on a cash advance.
On my HELOC or whatever, you know, I could just be like, whatever the maximum is on that.
But can
I
you get that money
24
in 24 hours?
Hours?
I don't think so.
Tough. And part of this is like the conversation. Like in this scenario, only you know. Right? Only you know.
How about this? This is a real scenario right here. 816, someone says, they actually happened to a friend of mine. They had a parlay that could win $245,000. He wanted a hedge. And his grandpa, who was a multimillionaire, could only withdraw $50,000 a day at the bank.
So really? How can the bank tell me how much of my money I can take? It's my money.
Probably a whole different conversation.
Yeah. This is my money. You can't tell me how much of I can have today. I want it all.
Okay. Cody, just out of curiosity, this is, and again, this is adding another layer. Is there a specific bet? Like, if, is this, for instance, this is like the role, like, you know, the Royals win the World Series and you can go ahead and bet it. That's,
oh, yeah,
that's 17 to 1. I was going to say, do you know it's a long shot or like, what is this? Because
I think in this scenario, it's like a, it's just like a, you know, it's like a plus 110.
Okay.
The number I'm giving you, you know it's a win, but you're only really doubling your money.
Yeah, the $50,000 a day thing is that goes back to the whole run on the banks and FDIC insurance up to a certain amount and things like that. You know, the whole.
But if isn't a run on the bank, why can't I just have my money?
I don't
like,
know.
Yeah, but they're active run on the bank.
They're not going to
have my 100K.
Yeah, but they're not well 100K, but they're not going to just they're probably not just going to give you $500,000 in cash right there. You work at the bank. You tell me, Mr. Bank Teller.
I'm giving people a lot of cash.
$500,000?
No.
Yeah.
Our whole vault probably had like $1 million in it, I think. I had to count it every once in a while.
They don't have like, yes, you're right. If there was, let's say there were 20 people that all had $500,000 in a bank account, all 20 of those people could not go to that one branch and get the same cash that day.
Somebody said most banks would be hard to get $5,000 or $10,000. And look, banking has probably changed from when I did it pre-pandemic. And probably even more so, like, even more online banking. My drawer limit when I worked at a bank was $100,000. I was personally responsible for $100,000. So you can't tell me that you couldn't just, like in the time I was doing it, I give you know, like, I could technically give someone $50,000.
I don't know if I'd be able to get money from my parents for this, because I think...
Oh, I'd go to a payday loan place and see how much they can take. I'd go to as many payday loan places and take my business.
That's doing too much.
That's terrible.
That's doing too much if it's 100% lock? Dude, I go to all kinds of stuff like that. I'd be selling furniture on Facebook Marketplace.
Here's what's funny about that last comment. That last comment was really funny to me for a couple
because
reasons.
I've never
Two
sold.
Things. Number one, because we bought an Amazon pallet or a box. Cody wanted to buy a pallet. I said no because we won't ever sell it. We have a box that's a year old with stuff that we wasted money on that you have not resold. That was the deal, and I told you this was going to happen, and you haven't sold it. The other reason why I laughed is because Drew sold a couch for $100. And never.
He actually eventually got
gave,
his money.
He gave someone $100 to get his
somebody
own.
Somebody from the text line yesterday, I have to shout them out. Yesterday, for the random question, the IQ score that I would have is much lower because of that reason, I think. I'm definitely not smarter than a lot of the population.
They said you got scammed for $100.
Someone wants to bid on the Apple Pen if we still have that from our box.
I do. It's all yours. How much?
We need some money for the show
fund.
I think it's time you start selling it. You know,
$30?
Next remote we do, you should just bring the box. Cash only. Bring your best offer. Cash only.
I'll take Venmo. I don't care.
Cash only or Venmo.
Transfer it over.
Uh-huh.
I'll just bring the box of stuff.
That's right.
Fine. Apple Pen's still available.
That's the random question of the day. We are broadcasting live here at Jefferson's in Lenexa ahead of the Royals wildcard game this afternoon. Everybody from the station's going to be out here watching the game. They've got dollar rally shots, $3 Royal Blue refreshers, $12 Miller Coors buckets, plus I'm definitely going to get some wings here once we hop off the air 1 hour from now. Might have to switch it up. Went with a little honey barbecue yesterday and some fries. I don't know. Might have to change it
I go mango habanero sometimes
okay.
in a beer.
Okay.
Double dipped.
I think Mac was a teriyaki guy. Mac was a teriyaki guy on the wings yesterday, I think. We'll take a look at the old menu coming up during the break. But up next, we get back into the Chiefs briefly with some more news out there on potential trade targets, and then right back to what is at stake today for the Royals and the O's.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.